Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. How's everyone doing? Better now, wow. Since we're all into the volunteering spirit, anybody want to volunteer and cut my grass? It's for the kingdom. Okay, I guess not, all right. That was a joke, everybody. My goodness. Michael kind of gave it away what we're going to talk about, but I'm still going to go through my intro. if you remember 2017, the beginning of 2017, who remembers what the heart for this year was as a church? No. It's okay. I forgive all of you. Mark, forgive them. It's to go deeper, deeper and higher. And so we started the year talking about being devoted to God, what that looks like, how we can be devoted in many different areas to follow after Jesus, devoted to his love. And then we moved on to what we just wrapped up on authentic, where we studied the book of James. The book of James challenged us, frustrated us. We wrestled with it, because guess what? That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. Thank you. And so going deeper and higher is supposed to challenge us. Do you agree? It's supposed to frustrate us. It is. It's a delight. Well, when I get there, then I'll agree with you. And the reason why we get to that point to go deeper is because it all has to do with one word, and that's the word risk. Right? It's all about risk. And so what we are going to talk about this morning is going deeper, and it's a lifestyle of worship. And so, of course, I was going to ask how many people raise your hands, and the first word that comes to mind when you hear the word worship is, don't give me the right answer, songs. For most of us, music, songs, for most of us, okay? And so what we want to do is kind of destroy that notion. Because really, at the end of the day, it is a deception. It is. And so for all of us that thought it's about songs, and it is, but it's not the main thing. We want to destroy that deception over this series. Are you still with me? I had a very frustrating week because I got the stomach flu this week. Yeah, exactly. And for someone that loves food, Friday was my first meal. And knowing that I was going to preach on Sunday. Guess what? God has a sense of humor. He does. Just to let you know, he does. there was no Dairy Queen for the week. I didn't know what to do. But one of the nights I had this dream, which, you ever have those dreams, you know they're from God, but you almost feel like you're being tormented? But they're from God, because he won't leave you alone. And so every time I close my eyes, this was my dream. It was just wood going in different shapes. Wood going up, wood going across, wood going down, wood going across. Wood going up, wood going across. Wood, And it just kept going. It was driving me crazy. And I was like, Lord, what in the world is going on? That's all I kept seeing was wood. And then finally I thought it was different shapes, but it was actually one shape. But it was going so fast that I couldn't make out the shapes. And it was the shape of a box. And so the next day I woke up and I was like, Lord, what in the world was all that about? And he said this. He says, my people have boxed me into this thing called worship. And so on that good news, if you have your Bible, turn with me to John chapter 4, verse 21 to 26. And what do we say when we get there? For show. For show. If you're visiting with us, for show. That's how we acknowledge that we're there. For show. So let's read. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming and he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all these things. And Jesus said to her, I speak to you, I who speak to you am he. Imagine that. It's okay, Jesus, or prophet, whoever you are. Don't worry, when the Messiah comes here, he's going to let us know what all this means. It blows me away, but at the same time, we would do the same thing. Don't be holy in that way. You are holy, but yeah, anyways. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. And when you're there, say, for show. So I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Amen. And so we can see here that these two scriptures, one in the book of John and this in the book of Romans, that is trying to drive home one main point. And that point is our worship to God has nothing to do with location, has nothing to do with the color of our skin, has nothing to do if we wear jeans or not. It has nothing to do with if you have long flowing hair or nice short hair like mine. Our relationship with God has everything to do with a lifestyle of worship. Has nothing to do if you worship in the mountains or if you worship in Jerusalem. Because now Jesus has come and he dismantled all of that. Amen? But here's the issue. Is that we've come and we've made worship an event instead of an experience, an everyday experience. And so if we look at John chapter 4, verses 21 to 26, when Jesus is saying for you to worship in spirit and in truth, in spirit meaning engage with your whole heart, and in truth meaning knowing him, So essentially, every day, every living day that we're here on this earth, we're supposed to know God and live that out in our actions. But what's happened to the church is that we've made this worship thing an event. And it goes to the point where over the years, over decades, the church has gone through this thing of, because we've dwelt on songs and we've dwelt on this thing called worship as, you know, is it traditional or contemporary? You know, is it the chorus or the hymns? Can the choir wear robes? Can people come to church in jeans? Is it a Sunday morning or Sunday night? Is it the drums or is it the organs? And while we're all laughing at this, or at least I was, churches split up because of this stuff. And so I remember my experience. I remember the church that I come from. And big church, 1,400 plus people, born and raised in that church. And it was traditional in a sense of there was still that old school, which nothing wrong with it, mentality, traditional, where we love our hymns. We, you know, we have to throw in at least two hymns in every service, you know, where you actually, hey, you had hymn books. How many people remember hymn books? Man, love those hymn books. Even though it took me years to even realize how you read this thing. Oh, you went from that line to that. Oh, okay. Man, it was so frustrating trying to sing along. This is my story. And then I'm like, where does the rest of the story? Oh, there, that line. Okay. And so in that church, we did the traditional stuff. And then growing up over the years, when we became teenagers, for all of us that grew up in that church, we became a youth that were radical against tradition. And we became a youth that was 100 plus strong. And when we heard a hymn, we said, guess what? We're taking that hymn, like, this is my story, and we're going to make it faster. And so we took, this is my story, this is my song. And we went, this is my story. And we put some groove to it. Because that's what we did. We weren't rebellious, but we wanted to state, or we wanted to express the way we would sing, this is my story. And so over the decades, listen, we've had great songs that have been written. We've had great movements come from all over the globe. And when it comes to songs, but this morning, I want us to understand that God is interested less about our songs, about the style of songs we sing, about if we want to put a synthesizer or not, even though I love that. Those are great expressions through songs we sing, but guess what? It's not on his priority list. And I've come here to stomp on some toes, and that's fine. I'm confident, and I'm moving on in God. I mean, right now, there are more songs than ever, more styles, more instruments. We've gone away from paper to the classic overhead. How many people remember the classic overhead projectors? Where, oh my gosh, you, get ready, the next verse is coming. Pull the screen, pull the paper off the screen. Oh, we made it. Hey, you couldn't sleep. Man, you were just glued to the screen. Okay. classic overhead projectors. But now we've moved on to high-resolution projectors, cool backgrounds, cool lights, and the list goes on. But guess what? The deception is this, is that we could be the greatest generation that leaves a legacy on earth of being the greatest consumers of songs and styles of worship music. We wrote more songs, we sang more songs, we consume more songs than any generation in the history of the church. Is that what we want our legacy to be? Or do we want our legacy to be that we took this gospel to every end of the earth so that Jesus' name would be glorified and that heaven would be populated, hell would be plundered because of the good news of Jesus? Is that what we want our legacy to be? See, where we are God's children and the followers of Jesus need to get that coming to church on a Sunday and even this Wednesday with Greg and Michelle is not the main thing. If we come to church to worship, may I suggest that we have it all wrong? You see, when I woke up this morning, I was worshiping. When I was brushing my teeth this morning, I was worshiping. When the kids got on my nerves, maybe I wasn't worshiping at that time, but I got back into a place of worship. If you know me, I'm going to be transparent with you. It's okay. You guys don't have any issues with your kids. That's fine. Yeah. You guys worship all the time. It's fine. See, if we're ready to take a deeper dive into the things of God, know it will cost you your very last breath. Example, when you go deep sea diving, guess what? You can only go so far into the sea without needing what? Some scuba gear and a regulator. Or guess what? You'll die. And for some of us in here, we desire to go deeper. We want the more of God, but we've always stopped because there's too much risk involved. You enjoying this so far? Is it frustrating you? Is it challenging you? I'm glad you guys are nodding your heads. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16 says this. Through Jesus. How many of us know we can unpack just that? Especially at the end of Hebrews. It says, through Jesus. And the thing we have to understand is this. We're going to park that. Through Jesus. Is that Jesus is the door. That is the main thing. That's what this whole worship as a lifestyle is. It's about Jesus. And I hear one amen. It's about Jesus. Because he's the door. He's the door. And if we've come through the door before we've come through the door, then we're going to need some musicians to get on stage and energize us and pump us up and tell us, hey, let's go. But if we come through the door, before we come through the door, then guess what? We don't need any musicians up here, anybody pumping us up, telling us, let's go, let's worship God. Because guess what? I've come here, I'm already pumped up, I've worshiped him because I've gone through the door. But for some of us, we always come through the door. When really we wake up and we say, no, I spent time with the door. And I've opened the door. And I've said, hi, Jesus. Hello, Holy Spirit. What is it you want to do today? How can I serve you today? Because it's all about the door. And that door opened. And his name was Jesus, is Jesus. And he had nail-pierced hands. He had scars all over his body. Feet were pierced. Beaten beyond belief where you couldn't even recognize him. And he died and rose again. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom, saying, guess what? That door that was closed has now opened. And you have access to this person called Jesus now. Because true worship is a life surrendered and obedient to the presence of God in our lives. I think I said it during the Rooted series, is that true worship is about who you're obedient to and not who you sing to. It's about who you're obedient to. Let's just call it what it is. It's pure obedience. And about the Lordship of Christ. And so through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And in your Bible, do you have a line there? Which means we're going to unpack what this sacrifice of praise is all about. And it says, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. Which means, songs is part of declaring his name. Worship, what I'm doing right now is worship. It's not about coming here and saying we're going to worship for 30 minutes, and then guess what? Mark or anybody else is going to come up here and they're going to preach. No, we're worshiping. We're worshiping. And all those things, if we don't get that part of offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, what becomes is that we become consumers of worship when God has called us to be consumed by worship. We're consumers. Give me. I want more. Can I have? I love that song. Love that song. I'm moving on to another song. I already have that song. It's on my Spotify. I already have that song. Next song. And we become these people that are consumers instead of being consumed by worship. That's why I love in Joel 2, verse 15, where it says, render your hearts and not your garments. Because church, if we don't get it, and maybe I haven't done a good job so far, but really this whole thing about worship is all about hearts. And I love that. That's on cue. I actually got him to do that for me. Thanks. I was thinking more of I'm sure you can. Render your hearts and not your garments. Because God wants your hearts. He doesn't want any more songs. It's not like he's in heaven and we're all there. It's like, oh God, this is a big, my background. This is a big tune. This is a big tune. This is a big song that's coming to your nostrils today, Lord. And it's not like he's in heaven saying, wow, that's an awesome song, guys. That's all about me. Because guess what? At the end of the day, there's like 17, 18 other million people singing that same song about him. It's true. But we've made this thing like, I'm going to give you this song and it's going to be awesome. I'm going to write you this song that all the people on the earth, and he's like, hey, man, that's great. But guess what? I don't need another song from you. What I need more than anything is people that hearts are obedient to me. Because here's the other truth that I have to destroy, the other lie that I have to destroy today, church. Just because you're on stage playing music, just because you're serving on the hospitality team, just because we come here to pray, whatever part of ministry that you might be involved in, guess what? Because you're involved in it doesn't make it worship. Because if your heart is not in it, it's not worship. It's not worship. So let's not call it worship if your heart is not in it. If you're at your job and you're complaining, it's not worship. If we're murmuring and about what's going on and about our bosses and everything else going on, it's not worship. Because it's about the heart and being right in our hearts with God. There's so much for me. And to be honest, I had a hard time putting this all down because I'm like, there's just so much to say about all this. But here's the cool thing about worship when it comes to a lifestyle, when it comes to God. See, worship is drawn from the place of being rooted in God's affection, rooted in his love, rooted in his passion for us. And then what happens is because we're rooted in that place, then something inside of you explodes. And you're so overcome by his goodness and his love and his passion towards you that you're just like, oh my gosh! How can I be silent? How can I not tell people about your name? How can I not declare who you are? Something inside of you explodes. Because here's the truth, church. We never exit worship. Why? Because of the presence of God in our lives. Do you know that he lives inside of each and every single one of you here that know him today? And because of that, you can never, ever, 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 ever exit worship. That's the beauty of him. Is that he actually initializes this thing in us because of the presence in our lives. He puts us in it and he initiates it. It's nothing we have to conjure up. It's not like, oh my gosh, okay, I need to do this today. No. When we get to know him and the presence of God in our lives, it's almost like we don't have any other choice but to do it. You with me? And that's why thanksgiving and rejoicing just becomes normal in our lives. Because every day God gives us a reason to be thankful, and he always gives us a reason to rejoice. And that's why 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, it says to be thankful. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's always a reason to rejoice. There's always a reason to be thankful. There's always a reason to worship Him. So what I want to do really quickly is there's actually different expressions of worship. And we're just going to go through them really quickly. But my heart is that we actually, when you hear the book of Psalms, what do you hear? It's all about these songs. And a lot of these songs that we've sung over the many, many, many years. For some of us. I'm still young. But what I want us to understand is that there's actually 7 Hebrew words that are used in the book of Psalms, in all the book of Psalms, that hopefully it changes our perspective of worship. And so the first one is yada, which is a verb with a root meaning extended hand, to throw out the hand. In other words, it's an extension. It's our heart and our hands extended to Him. And we find that in Psalm 63, verse 4, it says, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will yada. I will lift my hands. I will extend my hands to you. Next one. Second one is called Torah, an extension of the hand in adoration. And we see that in Psalm 50, verse 14. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. And so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will todah up my hands. I will lift up my hands. The third one, halal. And it's not the meat. To be clear, to shine, to boast, to show, to rave, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. When's the last time you've been clamorously foolish? Yeah, that's what I thought. Psalm 113, verse 1 says, praise, halal, the Lord. Praise, halal, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Listen, you'll never read the book of Psalms ever the same way. Next one. Shabbat. Hallelujah, Shabbat. Probably too old for you guys. To address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph, to exclaim, glory, to shout. It's to give all of that to Him. Psalm 145, verse 4 says, one generation commends or praises your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. Next one. Barak. I'm not Obama. To kneel down, to bless God as an act of adoration. To kneel down. Such a wonderful picture, to bless God as an act of adoration. Psalm 95, verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, Barak, before the Lord, our Maker. Next one, Zamar, to touch the strings. How many love Zamar? Okay, just me. Psalm 57, verse 9 says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises, Zamar, to you among the nations. And then the last one, Tehillah, not tequila, Tehillah. Man, your guys' minds, why don't you go to tequila? To sing to Lord. Psalm 33, 1. Shout for joy in the Lord. O ye righteous, praise. Tehillah befits the upright. Psalm 34, verse 1. His praise, Tehillah, shall continually be in my mouth? How many of us see that God doesn't have one way of being praised? There are different expressions of how we praise His name. And so I thought I'd take 2 minutes and show you the flip side of, and I'm sure most of us have seen this video, but we're going to play this one and enjoy. And if you really don't know what to do, then you just do YMCA. But here's the point. Here's the point. That's funny. It is funny because we've all done it. But we do it because we've lost the sense of worship. Because it doesn't matter about how many hand gestures you do to God. It's about your heart. And when we've made it about songs, that's the uncomfortableness that we go through, when really it's about, man, I don't care who's looking, because it's all about Him. It really is all about Him. And so in closing, Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." All your heart and soul is all about my expression, my affection towards God. How am I showing my affection towards Him? What do I love most? What's keeping me back, actually, from loving Him the most? Instead of loving me the most, my car the most, my house the most, my tools the most. I don't have any tools, so that's okay. All of your mind is all about focusing my attention on Him. I love in Isaiah 26, it says, "And He will keep my mind in perfect peace, whose eyes are fixed on Him, and who trust in His name." And number three, all of our strength. Using my abilities for God. Using the giftings that He's given me to give back to Him. Because at the end of the day, two last things. One, we have to get out of this consumer mentality, thinking it's, what can I get? And really coming and being consumed by worship and saying, just one question, how can I serve you today? What is it you want me to do? What do you want me to do? It's really a simple question. What do you want me to do? And I'll end with this. I love the beauty of the cross, because this is the way I picture the cross. It's about my relationship with Him. And as a result of my relationship with Him, of knowing Him, of worshiping Him, then I can worship to other people. Then my worship comes out in many other streams and expressions to other people. And so that's why I need to get this worship right, so that it impacts this worship of going out and seeing the lost saved and just being Jesus' hands and His feet here on earth. Amen? Amen. Amen.